First, I want to say good evening to everyone. I want to say I thank God for yet another opportunity. How many? Okay. To be here to present another lesson, another message, because this message purely is from God. As I have studied and lamented on some things that have given me inspiration, a great inspiration that I've received for this day was the overwhelming and outpouring of love that was shown me and my wife on this morning. I can't tell you how much it means to me to have a family that is so loving, that in times like this, when we go through it, and we've all been experiencing some things here and there, but to go through these things, knowing that you have a family that will love and support you, means a great deal. Now, Brother Niles has given me a figure of how many people are here this afternoon, because I didn't have time to stop and count them. So, and with that, I'm going to ask a huge, huge favor from all of you. I'm going to ask if you'll occupy for me, beginning with the second row, back to as far as the fifth row, if you'll just move forward. I'm asking that because you all, every one of you, are going to be as big a part of my message this afternoon, bigger than what you can imagine that you're going to be. So I'm asking if you will do this for me, please. I'm also very happy that a couple of my friends have decided to be with us this afternoon, one of which I hadn't even met, but I've spoken with on the phone several times, many times. Nathan Bowling, sitting right down here in the front, I certainly appreciate him being here this afternoon, and Mal Graves. I met Mal at Lowe's, and Mike, where are you? Mike? Oh, there you are. There's this one of your Lowe's kind of house right here. That's Mike McCurry back there. Okay? But I met Mal at Lowe's, and he invited me to be a part of a family that they, on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, they conference call, I guess that's what you call it, teleconference or what have you, and they speak mighty. And I love that. And I've been doing it, I don't know, about a year or something like that, a little over a year. And I appreciate that. And that's the reason why I invited him and Nathan to be here with me this evening. I want to thank my elders for giving me this opportunity. It's always a joy in my heart to be able to speak the word of God. Now, I wrote down one of the stanzas of the song that Brother Thomas just led. Love is much too pure and holy. And I want to talk to you all tonight about three things. The first thing I want to share with you tonight is about love. I use a search engine when I'm studying called studylight.org. Some of you may have already heard about it. Some of you may have used it, but if you have not, it is an absolute wonderful search engine for scripture. And I use it because when I'm trying to find a particular scripture and I don't know exactly where it is in the Bible, all I have to do is put in a keyword that I know is in that scripture, and it'll pull up every scripture that has that word in it. Now, granted, I wanted to do this for myself. I typed in love, and there was about 400 scriptures, and you can see why. About 400 scriptures that came up with the word love in it, or a form of the word love, loved, so on and so forth. So the second thing I want to talk to you about tonight is love. From Genesis to Revelation, we have God's word, and about every chapter has a word love. So with there being so much to understand, 360 to 400 and some scriptures that talk about love, if God did not want us to be well acquainted with love, he wouldn't have mentioned it so many times in his word. Amen? So we should therefore seek the absolute highest possible level of understanding and embrace it. Love is there from the beginning, and love is there unto the end, and all points in between. So the third thing I want to talk to you about tonight is love. Love, love, love. I don't think anybody can go wrong if they are talking about love. But there's one thing. I'm not going to try to shed light on 360 scriptures on love. Okay, so you can all rest assured. Brother David, you can rest assured. I'm not going to try to get into all that. Okay? I just want to address two. Turn over to, if you will, to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 30. Jesus said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. I'm putting my watch up there because I got to keep track of the time. We must put God first in everything we do as Christians. If you don't, there's a problem. But Jesus said that this is the first command because it is the very foundation, the very principal point to the existence of something else. It can be seen as the very core by which all things given and all things that we should understand about God is love. When I grew up, I grew into learning that the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians was the love chapter. And I don't disagree with it, but I do find that there's a certain narrowness to that thought in a sense that when we look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says, God is love. Well, the Bible is the inspired word of God. Therefore, the entire Bible, in my mind, is the love chapter, because God is speaking forth his love for us and the love that we should have one to another. Jesus said that these were the greatest commands because they are all inclusive of all other laws by which we should live and come into the understanding of who God is. All sins against God are forbidden by it, and all sins against men, likewise, are forbidden by it, because we are the image of God and the objects of his love. So if we love God the way we say we do, we will not perpetually sin against God or his image. 1 John 4 and 20 says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he, if he loveth his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Sin carries with it a willingness or a desire to injure or to hurt, but love is the cure for that. When we love, we desire to bless. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40, Jesus said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. If we look at Matthew 7 and 12, we commonly know this scripture as the golden rule, Matthew 7 and 12, because Jesus says, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. But let us be reminded that our hearts and our minds need to be in the right place according to God, not according to us, but according to God, in order for this scripture to have its intended effect in our lives. Because if we don't hold it in the esteem that God has it, God says that we should love him first, love our neighbor second. If we don't do it in that order and the way God says, then it's not going to have its intended effect in our lives. We practice the golden rule to make it perfect, because the divine judgment of God teaches us forbearance, and his goodness teaches us kindness. 1 Peter 2 and 24 and Romans 15, 1. We learn that 1 Peter 2 and 21 says that Jesus is our example. Jesus is our ongoing, never-ending example of love. What he's done for us, what he continues to do for us. What Paul says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 through 10, he said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of the angels and have not charity, which is love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Love is power, but love is powerful. When we love, we have this great power of God to make a difference. But love without law is power with no direction. Law without love is like having a beautiful Mercedes sitting out in your driveway that doesn't have a motor in it, because it's not going anywhere if there's no law. Now, back in Mark chapter 12, reading verses 30 and 31 again. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. What I want us to see in this, if we go back and just look, take a peek at verses 28 and 29, this response that Jesus gave, he was answering the Jews who came to him, thinking that they were going in another feeble attempt to try to discredit the wisdom of Jesus. They ask him in verse 28, which is the first commandment of all? Now, the problem was they had an ulterior motive. For a long time, there was a dispute among them that they really didn't know how to solve. Because amongst the Jewish consulate, some of them believed that the first commandment was the law commanding sacrifice. Some of them believed that the greatest and the first commandment was the law commanding the wearing of phylacteries. Some of them believed it was a law commanding purification, and some of them believed that it was a law commanding the great feasts. The problem was that there were many laws from God, but the Jews did not want to decide upon which one was the greatest because they had so many different understandings and beliefs of which one was the greatest. So here they come to Jesus thinking that I'm going to trip him up in another attempt, like I said, to discredit the wisdom of Jesus. If you look at verse 32 of chapter 12, they agreed with him. And it said, the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. But I don't think they recognized in verse 33 what they were actually doing. Because it says, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the reason why I said that is because the response, the reply that Jesus gave in verse 34, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now, I don't think they really recognize what they were doing at that point by agreeing with that. But when we love God, first, love our neighbor. Second, according to what Jesus said in verse 34, there are kingdom implications here that we all have to recognize. We can't go off loving the way we want to. Oh, I just love him to death. We use love so much, it gets so watered down, that I really and truly believe that when it comes to loving the way we should love, I think too many people's idea and their of what love truly should be has become so distorted. And they really don't have a real grasp on what it means to love God first and to love thy neighbor second. So a part of this exercise, what I've asked you to do tonight, love is closeness. To me, love is closeness. I'm not suggesting that we cannot love by sitting the way we were. Not at all. But brothers and sisters, what I wanted to share with you tonight is just the fact that if I were to say, I beseech you, my brethren, beseech, the way I'm understanding it means that I'm calling to you to my side. And if I use that word, I beseech you, and you are already sitting here beside me, then you don't have to move. Then you're right there beside me. That's why I'm asking. I ask this of you, and I thank you for doing it. I thank you. Because to me, it exudes the love that we all share one to another. If we don't have a problem with just reaching out and just touching our neighbor sitting right beside us. If we don't have a problem with locking our arms, interlocking our arms, and just saying, today, how you doing, my brother? How you doing, my sister? I asked Brother Smith if he was going to be here tonight. Because I don't feel that when a brother is hurting, that he should have to go through it on his own, not by himself. We should have such a love and a closeness one to another that we know and can feel the things that he's going through. But that goes for every one of us. When we're not feeling the way we should, I love you. Help me to understand what I can do for you, because I know something's wrong. Something's just not right. I want to be that brother. What we've been witnessing here the past few days, weeks, months, years, I can't see as a kingdom of love. Not at all. Who's to blame? It doesn't matter. We are, if we don't do our part to make a difference. We are to blame. I believe one of the things that we should take from verse 34 when Jesus said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom," is this. Prejudice is a great obstacle to entering the kingdom, but as we overcome it, we draw near to God. And as I said, I don't think they realized that they were doing this, but in these two passages of Scripture, we have been, when Jesus said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and then he said to love thy neighbor, we have been given who to love, we have been given how to love, and we've even been given why to love. Because like I said, there's kingdom implications here that we all need to stay abreast of. In 1984, I want to share this with you. In 1984, a very popular R&B artist, Tina Turner, said, "What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?" Now, some of you younger people probably don't know who Tina Turner is, but then again, she still has a lot of music out on the charts today, okay? Now, I'm saying that for this. There's a whole lot of people that listen to Tina Turner. There's a whole lot of people that love Tina Turner. I love Tina Turner, okay? But there's a whole lot of people that are influenced by music, too. Over the years, in my years, I've seen crimes that I know have been committed, and people will accredit what they've done to the influence that a song, the words of a song, has had on them. If that is true, then I recognize that there's a lot of songs and there's a lot of artists who should not be recording. Because the Bible says, let your speech be for edifying, for building up one another in the kingdom. But I will say this, I've got this confession to make. I know Mal will probably understand this one. Back in, what year was it? I had it written down here, the 70s, I think it was. 71, here it is. There was a theme song from the movie called Shaft. I'm not going to tell you what the song said, but to give you an idea of how words like that can influence us, Shaft, in this movie, wore a short black leather jacket. And he was cool. He was the coolest thing coming down the pipe. I remember what in weeks after that, I think every black young man in the neighborhood had a black leather jacket. Because the song, Shaft, who is this cat, Shaft? He's just a cool dude. And seeing him in the movie, oh, everybody had to have a black leather jacket. But that's far as it went now, I think. But in a reply to what Tina said, what's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Well, love is got everything to do with it. In Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7, God said, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. If you don't serve God with your heart, then you're not serving God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46 through 48, Jesus said, if we love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Now, here's our chance to be perfect. Verse 48, he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. A chance for us to show perfect love. If we know it the way God says to know it, is a chance for us to show our perfect love. Because as Christians, we are called to a higher level of understanding and a higher level of loving than the world. If you cannot do that, then maybe you got too much of the world still in you. Anything short of what God wants for us to do is not acceptable. He cannot be satisfied with that which is imperfect. So as our example, I read in 1 Peter 2 and 21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. An example to what? That ye should follow in his footsteps. So that would mean to me that we not only serve as Jesus served, but we teach as Jesus taught. We give as Jesus gives. We pray as Jesus prayed. We forgive as Jesus forgives. We love as Jesus loves. Now, keeping in mind that Jesus is our example, I want us to go to Matthew 3 and 15. Matthew 3 and 15. Because Jesus is our example as to how we should live. Matthew 3 and 15. Jesus, in his response to what John the Baptist said, then cometh Jesus, in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. If we can believe that Jesus is our example, if we can believe that if we are to serve as Jesus served, if we can believe that we are to give as Jesus gives, if we can believe that we forgive as Jesus forgives, if we can believe that we love as Jesus loves, why can we not all believe that we are baptized as Jesus was baptized? Some may, and I understand that Jesus had no sin, and we teach here in the Lord's church, we teach that baptism is for the remission of sins. According to Acts 2 and 38, we teach that baptism is for putting us into Christ, Galatians 3 and 27. But regardless of what we think that baptism or believe baptism is or may not be, Jesus just gave us right here in Matthew 3 and 15 the absolute highest and purest motivation for anybody to be baptized when he said it is to fulfill all righteousness. In Matthew 19 and 28, Jesus also said, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says this. I'm sorry, I want to start with verse 4. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing the Holy Ghost." The regeneration was a period that Jesus is speaking of when he spoke in Matthew 19, 28. It is a period in which the process of regenerating man would occur, being reconciled back to God. The regeneration period. In 1 John, I'm coming to a close here. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we find that we are cleansed by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What was it? According to John 19 and 34, what was it when the soldier pierced the side of Jesus? What was it that came forth from his side? It was water and blood. Romans chapter 3, 21 through 25. Romans chapter 3, 21 and 25. He says, "But now the righteousness of God," and here he's talking about that same righteousness that Jesus spoke of in chapter 3, verse 15 of Matthew. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now, why does he say unto all who believe? It is by our faith we come unto the truth. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Colossians chapter 2 and 12 says that we are buried with him in baptism. We are risen with him through the faith of the operation. The faith of the operation. Our faith. Where the blood meets the water. Now, how does it do it? Don't know. But the fact of the matter is, I don't need to know. God says it will. And that's good enough for me. The faith of the operation. In closing, I'm going to say it like this. In John 15 and verse 13, When Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, that's another part of the reason why I wanted us to come forward and occupy the first, well, the second through the fifth rows. Because if we have a friend, I want to be able to reach out and touch my friend. My arms are not long enough to reach four or five rows behind me, y'all. I'm sorry, but my arms are just not that long. I want to be able to reach one seat or two seats, whatever, on either side of me and touch my friends. Because I love every one of you in here. And like Mal G tells me, ain't nothing you can do about it. I've heard this from him a number of times. I love you. Ain't a thing you can do about it. Because that's what God wants me to do. And the God that I serve is greater than any of us here. This last and final thought that I want to leave in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So I raise my hand first. And I say, I love you and I need you. I need you to help my love to be more perfect, because there's not a person sitting in here. I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this first. Dr. Phil says, and I watch Dr. Phil a lot. Dr. Phil says, you can't fix what you don't acknowledge. Now, I'm not suggesting to anybody in here that you need to be fixed. Okay? Fixed means something's broken. I don't think it's broken. I don't think it's as complete as we want it to be, or as it should be. I'm not going to say as we want it to be. It's just not as complete as it should be. If you love God first, love thy neighbor second. There's a whole lot that goes into understanding what he means when he said love God first and love thy neighbor second. But I could be here from here to eternity and never scratch the surface on it. I asked someone one time, well, I've asked a couple people what GPS stands for. And, of course, I got the usual response, Global Positioning System. But then I got several other responses, GPS. People were making up their own words to what GPS meant. I'm here to tell you it means, to me, it's God's plan of salvation. GPS. How much more clear? If you are a Christian, you know God's plan of salvation is the only GPS acronym that I want to know in my life. Because I don't need a TomTom or a Magellan or whatever the other ones things out there to take me where I want to go. Because I know if I follow God's word, I know he has told me where I'm going to go. 1 John, I think it's 1 and 13, one of your brothers going to help me out. The certainties of our faith. I have written these things so that you may know. Love is power, and love is powerful. You may not be of the love that God says in his word. If you are not, then you need to be of that love. We need to be able to interlock our arms. We need to be able to reach two seats over and touch one of our friends. We need to know a little bit more intimately the love that is required of God for each one of us. If you have difficulty knowing what he is or how, there's people here that can help you with that. We ask that you please come forward, confess to God that you need help with your loving. I need help with my loving. So whoever has a prayer, I'm asking you to please pray for Gordon, because I need your help. Why don't you come while together we stand and sing?